Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popwich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Faisal. You?
Not bad. Markets are a little bit volatile.
Yeah, but it's interesting when you look under the hood, I think. You know, we were talking about that a lot this week to see kind of what sectors are performing, what aren't performing, the kinds of companies that are being rewarded, the kinds of companies that aren't. And it's interesting, right? Yeah. There's a baton happening, a baton pass.
Yeah, it's a baton pass, and it's not as smooth as it seems like when we watch the Olympics, for example, how they can pass that baton. It'd be like if you and I were in a relay race and we had to pass the baton, it'd be messy as hell,
there'd
right?
There'd be a few fumbles, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what's happening in the markets. Very interesting move, what's happening. We've got a great show today to talk about what's happening in regards to moves. Yes, we're going to talk about markets, but let's get, you know, we'll have our deputy chief economist on board. He's going to talk about the big I word that we hear. That's the 2022 word of inflation.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the global economy and how things are shaping up in this part of the pandemic, and how, you know, what's the outlook for this? Are we going to get out of this pandemic this year, or where are we headed? And then, you know, if we have some time, I want to chat with him about Alberta and what's the opportunity for us in Alberta. But I think when you look at where the economic backdrop is, and when we talk to them about what's going on, you kind of get a reflection of what's happening in the stock and the bond markets.
Yeah, of course.
Right, and so this so far, you know, you've got a couple weeks into the new calendar year, and you come up with a big change in the bond market.
Well, you had a very rapid increase in the yield, right, on the 10-year bonds, and that has a ripple effect. And people don't appreciate the bond market. I get it. Everybody watches the stock market. You know, there is no public exchange for bonds, and so it's a little less transparent, but it has a huge ripple effect, doesn't it, on how other asset classes get priced.
We were talking to a few of the global bond managers and institutional managers out there, and that move this in the first 2 weeks of this calendar year in the bond market, especially the 10-year U.S. Yep. Treasury, has been one of the biggest moves probably since the 80s.
Oh, it's really aggressive, and it's not much. Like, we're talking about 25, 30 basis points of move, but it's against a backdrop of a 1.3% yield, right?
Correct.
So when you look at it on a percentage basis, it is pretty aggressive move.
And that shifts what happens in the stock market. The bond market's a nice kind of gives you the tea leaves of what's going to happen in the stock market. And the stock market comes out and says, wait a minute, we don't like certain sectors out there have high growth multiples. Maybe we're not going to grow as much, or the risk that these companies are taking on. And those who watch the index may not have seen the carnage in the market.
Right.
Because there have been companies in the last 2-3 weeks that are down 50, 60, 70%. And no one's really focusing on those companies. Mainly they've gone up last year to numbers and valuations that were like, this is crazy. So it's nice to see that the markets are catching up to our thesis.
Yeah, and let's just talk for just a quick minute, Faisal, about why that happens. So why as interest rates move up, do things like risk assets, those companies that you just referenced that maybe don't have any income, they've got no revenue coming in, right? They're great ideas. Why do they get sold off?
Yeah, there's two parts. One is, do they have some revenue coming in, is it growing? And if that's not the case, that's a problem number one.
Right.
And we heard about that in the tech industry.
Right.
That companies were being valued on potential, not on actual revenue.
Yeah.
Then you look at some of these companies that have negative profit margins. They're losing money just by, I call them zombies.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
Or they're not even generating revenue yet, right? They're pre-revenue stage.
They're pre-revenue stage and they've gone crazy.
Right.
Or they're non-profit companies.
Right.
And so let's go back to about around this time last year. I was adamant that there was a bunch of zombies.
Yeah. And you called it. Absolutely.
They're dead companies in my view, but they're roaming the earth and people were thinking they're the best things since sliced bread, and they got run up. And it makes it a very challenging market when you see companies grow by the amount that they did, and we're talking high double-digit returns, in some cases, 100, 200, 300% returns, and people going, how come we didn't get that? They're feeling that FOMO, right?
Yeah.
And now you go, well, we're going to stay disciplined. Well, the discipline kicks in this year, and they're getting decimated.
Yeah, and so as interest rates go up, you think about as a rational investor, you say to yourself, well, I could put money over here in a 10-year, you know, U.S. government bond and get 1.7% this year versus maybe in the pandemic getting 0.5% for a 10-year,
yep.
right? A German bond even negative.
Yep.
So as those interest rates go higher, a rational investor says, huh, okay, well, I can get more now for less risk. And so that mechanism right there is the ripple through other markets, right? And so you start comparing, well, if I hold this and I can hold an S&P company that's paying a dividend that when I was getting 0.5% on my bond and 1.5% on my dividend looked very attractive,
yeah.
but it looks less attractive today, doesn't it? Yeah. At a 1.7 on the bond and a 1.5 on a dividend. And so there's your mechanism where the bond markets and the stock markets, you know, have a relative trade that takes place and a pricing mechanism.
Yeah, and then you start to see different sectors. So let's talk technology stocks, broad base, not so good this year so far. We looked at some of the subsectors in Canada, energy doing very well.
Yep.
Interest rate sensitive, such as the banks, doing very well. Financial services looking pretty good from a Canadian perspective, at least. And then we look at some of the sectors like real estate, not doing so well this year so far.
Right.
You look at healthcare, which is the cannabis industry, not doing so well this year so far. But what was very interesting is consumer discretionary was pretty much even versus consumer staples, which was negative.
Right.
So consumer staples, let's talk product. Mm-hmm. Consumer discretionary, let's talk service.
Right.
And so there's a change happening in the economy as people go back to work, as people start to live somewhat of a normal life. They're going to require different services outside the home than products when they were in the home.
Yeah. And, you know, you could also look at the inflationary story and you could see, you know, we saw some retail numbers that indicate people are maybe pulling back a little bit on purchases because prices are higher. So maybe deferring some of those purchases. And that's a staples side
yep.
story. Discretionary side story, there's still lots of pent-up demand. There's lots of stuff that we haven't been able to do and our viewers and listeners haven't been able to do over the past 2 years that they want to do.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, that's a baton handoff right there.
That's right. And that's where I think active management is going to be very important. I think there is we are in a transition going from just buy the index and you'll be fine to, you know, it might be more of a stock picker's year this year. And
yeah.
so that baton again is also being passed from passive investing to active investing.
Right.
And this is where a lot of money managers who've been hugging the index are going to get hurt. This is going to be a lot of do-it-yourself investors who said, oh, I can make a lot of money in the last 3 years because I just owned the index or I owned a few of the basket of stocks and they've all run up.
Right.
Well, now what's the next rotation? Let's see. I think this year is going to be very humbling for a lot of investors and money managers who've just basically stuck to the index and haven't been able to drift and actually pick based on skill versus
right.
just on market analysis.
Yeah. I think that's interesting. But the last thing I want to mention very quickly, because we're running out of time in this first segment, is the rotation. You know, last year we had this tide lifted all ships kind of thing. 2020 was not that. You had to be pretty strategic. I mean, the tide did catch some of those ships for sure. This year is likely to be the same. And so it's interesting to not just measure for a very small period of time, right? Success will, it's the track record over, I don't know, 3, 5 years, 10 years, when you're looking at that, to be able to weather these different ups and downs, right?
Yeah.
Because there's value trades, there's growth trades, there's active, there's passive components, so on and so forth. Fascinating stuff. That's why I love my job.
Oh, I love it, absolutely. And you wanna know how to actually bulletproof your retirement. With all these changes that are happening, there is a discipline, there is a structure to those results that you wanna have over the long term. And we're gonna discuss that on Tuesday, January 18th, 7 p.m. at our seminar live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
You worried about the effects of inflation on your retirement? Stick around after the break. We're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.